Live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Well, joy to the world. It is Sunday. It's time for the Sunday sermon, which is We Need to Talk About Ghosts. I believe winter is well and truly upon us, like some crazy fog drifting down upon us and making some people very depressed because the sun has gone and making others that live in the dark, like us, exceptionally happy. And I don't know whether it's like Schadenfreude. Have you heard that word? What a word. A word given to us by our German friends. Schadenfreude. It means to take pleasure in somebody else's misfortune. I think it's Schadenfreude or Schadenfreude. Anyway, but it means to take pleasure in somebody else's misfortune. Now, that basically translates as being a bit of a bell end. But it turns out that I do that and I therefore am a bit of a bell end because I was saying to Becca before, oh, you know what? I made up that it's rainy and miserable because look at everybody running away like rats and we're like bouncing through with an umbrella dressed all in black. And she said, that's very Schadenfreude of you. And I was like, it is. And I didn't think I was a horrible person, but now I'm starting to second guess myself and I may be a horrible person. So as a very lapsed Catholic boy, I think I may have to go and repent to the Lord Jesus and say sorry for hating everyone who hates the rain. But that's enough sounding like a goth. Thank you very much for downloading this show. Yesterday was Saturday, and yesterday I spent Saturday night not at the movies, which is very akin to a song. I spent Saturday night talking with Brennan and Ian from the Ghost Story Guys because I was on their podcast as a co-host. It should be out next week, and they are bloody, they have the patience of several thousand saints because partly on my end, really. I mean, they were using new technology to record the episode. And it's not easy, you know, they had to sync times. They're in Canada, I'm in the UK. We had to sync times to make sure we could all do it. So it was like 8 o'clock at night, 6 o'clock at night we started. I think about 10 a.m. their time. And we were still doing it at 10, like 4 hours later. Partially because it's new technology, but also because my Wi-Fi is los diabolicos and absolutely shite. And therefore, anything we tried to do took forever to do. But they're very patient and very nice gents. And we had an absolute laugh and a ball doing it. So I like those guys and plug them generally anyway. But I've got a double reason to plug them this time because I'm on the show next week. I see you next week. It may be the week after. But either way, go and check out the Ghost Story Guys because they're bloody brilliant. Hooray. How the hell have you been? Because I'm now concerned about you guys. You know, I appreciate this is often a one-way conversation because unless I start hearing voices in my head, in which case I'm going to go to a doctor, then generally this is me talking into a microphone. But I do hope sincerely from the bottom of my very, very, very fatty heart, because I eat nothing but takeaways, that you are all wonderful. Well, you've downloaded this show and you want to listen to some ghost stories. And so do I. So for those new people who may be joining us after, you know, we've done the Jericho show, we've just done the Ghost Story Guys show. So there's going to be new people listening in. Let's set some expectations here. Let's set the table out for any newbies. Basically, what happens is, you know, I'm going to treat you like you know about ghosts already. Because if you're listening, if you're downloading, like most people who like the paranormal, you go and download everything that you can about the paranormal. So therefore, I'm not going to do an old-fashioned dun 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 dun. Hi guys, they find that puberty exists in a lot of poltergeist cases because we kind of know that. So yeah, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek look at the paranormal. I'm a believer. I get into arguments with my partner, Becca. She's skeptical. She sometimes appears on the show. And generally, we start off with me all being lighthearted at the start. We have a few jokes. Sometimes I do a few characters if I'm a bit bored. And then generally speaking, by the end of the show, I'm crapping myself because your stories are so bloody good. And on the subject of that, if you have a story that you want me to read out, go over. I keep on saying go over. There's nowhere to go over to. Go over to wherever you send an email from. Go to Hotmail. Go to Gmail. I don't know. It's your discretion. It is your prerogative, as Bobby Brown did say. Oh, that's a nice noise. Apparently I have a virus and threat protection reminder. Going to just blank that until the computer dies. Go and send an email to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. That's contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And I will read your stories out because that's how this works. Yes. Okay, I do hope you're all well. Shall we get them in some ghost stories? I think we shall. And our first story comes in from longtime friend of the show, Diana Deming. And she says, hey, Kev. Hey. Just listened to one of your stories on the Real Life Ghost Stories podcast. Kev speaking now, go check out the guys, Emma and Dan. They're fantastic. We've actually got them a very early Christmas present. Not a physical thing, a video thing, but we're not going to share it with them till December. Anyway, check their podcast out. But I continue. Just listen to one of your stories on the Real Life Ghost Stories podcast. When I heard Becca's name, I knew it was you. I laugh when I recognise the story. I love that the community among ghost podcasts is so tightly knit. So do I, actually. Yes, we were discussing that with the Ghost Story guys last night. It's lovely. Here is a creepy memory that surfaced whilst listening to an episode somewhere about terrifying children. Oh dear, let's carry on. It happened when I was around 13. The next door neighbours had a family visiting and needed a babysitter for their two children one night. I had a much younger sister at the time and was used to helping with diaper changes and dealing with the general baby-related care. That's very nice of you. Well done. Because of this, I was asked to care for the 2- and 4-year-old of an evening. The older couple that lived there year-round were a bit different, and I didn't know them well. Their daughter or niece or whoever was visiting was entirely unknown to me. Regardless, I didn't have any apprehension taking money for a couple of hours easy work. As you would say, Jesus wept. Yes, I would say Jesus wept, Diana. Well said indeed. Well said indeed. The night started strangely when I realised that the 4-year-old did not talk at all, block capitals. He understood anything I asked and could point, nod, yes and no, and generally seemed capable. He was also strangely serious, responding solemnly to anything asked. Oh, that sounds bloody horrible. The 2-year-old seemed to be more age-appropriate, and I can't recall now if he did speak a couple of words or not. I do remember that he seemed more light-hearted, because the other one seems like bloody Damien. The 4-year-old was content to watch children's programming with me, but the younger wanted more involved interaction, and so I spent the time, before putting them to bed, in talking back and forth with him about the show. When it was time for a diaper change, I took the 2-year-old to the table and got him set down. He began grinning widely and looking up at me over my shoulder and laughing. What the hell? The first time it happened, I looked behind me to see if his brother had come in. The room was empty. I turned back to the task at hand and he laughed again. It couldn't be that he was ticklish because I'd been pulling out a new diaper and the diaper cream, not actively touching him. I checked again, following his gaze to the corner of the ceiling. Nothing was there. He continued to carry on laughing at intervals as I changed the diaper as quickly as I could. I closed the door to the room as I left, absolutely on edge. I kept on checking until bedtime, when I double-checked his diaper and got him a new one, with him laughing over my shoulder still. I do hope that you ran away. Diana, I hope you ran away. Neither seemed reluctant as I put them in their beds, and I was relieved I wouldn't have to deal with their fucked-up laughing. Fair play, fair play. An hour later, the 4-year-old started screaming. Not crying for Mama, not whining because he was awake and happy. Screaming. I ran into the room and found him just screaming, beginning to cry and shaking his head. No, that's horrible. I picked him up and grabbed his brother, who had woken as well, and held them both on the couch where they fell asleep. We stayed that way until their parents came home. They never asked me to babysit again, and I was happy not to. The last I heard of them, they had voluntarily put down their 2 dogs and moved away. I'm not sure what their deal was, but there were bad vibes. Bloody hell! Bloody hell. Several things there. First, on the paranormal front. You know where you said looked up to the corner? A friend of mine is married to an Irish girl, and her Irish mother is very in touch with her spiritual side. And she always says that demons, ghosts, etc., will be in the corners of room, in the top corners of room, left and right. And she says, when you see a child or a dog or anything looking up to the top left or right corner of a room, it's because there's a spirit in the house, honestly. And so I don't want to freak her out even more there, but there you go. And the second point, I do hope that the end line's there where you say, they voluntarily put their 2 dogs down and moved away. I do hope that's not a common practice. It's like, well, looks like we've bought a new house, we have to move, therefore we have to kill the dogs. Is that a common practice? Please, somebody convince me that it's not, because right now I'm phoning the RSPC, bloody hey. They may not have a US branch, but if they do, watch your back. So yeah, thank you for that, Diana. That's an amazing story. If you've got a story like Diana's, then send it in, contact@talkaboutghost.com, and I'll read it out. But yeah, that started, like I said at the start, I start off all laughy and jokey, try and have a laugh. And 9 times out of 10, it ends with me being rather scared, and I'm already on the way there. So, should we have another ghost story? I think we should. Excellent. So, what I will say in the interest of full disclosure is, normally, what I like to do with these stories is a kind of file them in an email thing, And then I read them live. So I might scan through them to get a bit of a gist. But I tend to read them live so I can give a real life, my reaction. But this one, I read. And it scared me. It scared me so much. I need to do a really bad Scottish accent. No, it did scare me, honestly. So get on to this. Listen to this for a title for a story. A Demon's Playground, which I think we'll name the episode. Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
I'm Tedra, not Tedra. I mainly go by Teddy, but you can use either name. Okay, let's go with Teddy. Thank you, Teddy. So my dad has lived with his girlfriend and had two kids since I was 14. I'm now in my early 20s. One of her kids is a 17-year-old boy. He told me he's seen shadow figures in his room a few times, but brushed them off as a trick of the mind. His sister, and we'll call her Jane, is 14. She and I are both spiritually sensitive, as well as my younger sister. We'll call her Amy, who's now 18. Their gifts are more seeing entities, while mine is feeling them and getting their intentions. End of paragraph. Are we already building this story? I know I am, because it's very well written. Okay, let's continue. Amy and I spent the weekends with our dad at his girlfriend's house for nearly a decade. Throughout those years, both Amy and Jane would tell me about the things they saw in the house. Amy has awoken in the middle of the night once to see a huge shadow-like dogs walking in the halls. She said they were wispy and smoky. I don't think that was the names, just to say. Sorry, yeah. It's all right. That was a really bad joke, but, you know, I continue. Because this is terrifying. I make jokes when I'm scared. Here we go. So, she's seen giant shadow-like dogs walking in the halls. She said they were wispy and smoky, not the names. And that when one noticed her looking, they disappeared. Terrifying. Jane said she saw little baby-sized creatures banging angrily on the front door and yelling in some language she didn't understand. What the living frig. She also seen shadows of feet through the underneath of her door as if someone was walking through the halls in the middle of the night. They've moved twice and still encounter these same demonic happenings. This is terrifying. Honestly, some stories get sent in and I'm like, what the hell? She continues. Jane's mother is bipolar and an alcoholic. Oh, well, God bless her. So I'm pretty sure that these entities feed off her negative energy. I feel the most heavy and uneasy in her mum's room, especially her bed and closet. The 17-year-old has seen their mum running around shouting things like, leave me alone, fucking hell, and spitting at random spots in the room. What? There was a time where I was sitting alone in the living room talking with her, two of her friends and Jane. We were telling paranormal stories and her, in brackets, Jane's mum, phone slid a few inches to the edge of the coffee table and fell face flat onto the floor. She looked petrified and was afraid to even touch her phone. I played gospel music in her house one time and she came out of her room, snatched the plug out of the wall and said, I don't allow that in my house. But she did it with such an urgency as not to make her special friends, in inverted commas, upset. I don't know how to help this family, but I'm sure their mother is going through some kind of torment. That's horrible. These entities are heavily attached to her with the intent to cause serious harm. They love feeding off her negativity and messing around in the house. The family got a cat, and the cat always goes to sit in the front of Jane's door at a specific time in the night. I know this was all over the place, but I hope it somewhat made sense. Thanks for reading, Teddy B. My sweet Jesus. Like, seriously, in that case, my sweet Jesus, what the living hell? I don't even know what to say to that because that sounds petrifying. I mean, I really feel for the mother, you know, if she's bipolar and an alcoholic. And, like, you know, say what you want about alcoholism, but it is an illness. It really is. And it's easy enough for people to say, oh, just get a grip and do whatever, blah, blah, blah. I know from firsthand, not me personally, but I've seen the effects of alcoholism. And it's not nice. And the people suffering from it, they don't want to be in it. Do you know what I mean? So if she's got that and bipolar and this is all going on, Christ, I don't even know what to say. I do not know what to say. Now, you know what? We've got a very, very, some of our guys who listen to the show, and girls and others who listen to the show, they know a lot more than me when it comes to spiritual stuff. So you know what? We're going to start something here and now, guys. If you are of the spiritually minded, okay, I've got Teddy's email address. If you are the spiritually minded guys and you know what you're doing about it, I haven't got a clue. Let's be honest, I don't have a clue. But if you do and you think you know something that may be able to help Teddy get rid of whatever that is, for the friends, or for a family even, then email me contact@talkaboutghosts.com and I will forward it on to Teddy, because that is horrific. Just horrific. I mean, I'm a lapsed Catholic, but even I might try and give a prayer out. He'll definitely ignore it, like. But Jesus Christ. literally. Anyway, Teddy, thank you very much for sending that in. I sincerely appreciate it. And, you know, I only hope your friends and your family even get through that. But seriously, guys, if you can think of anything, this is not very funny what you tuned in for, and I do apologise. But if you can think of anything that may be able to help them, you know, do send it on to me and I'll send it on through to Teddy. It doesn't have to be mentioned on the podcast. Bloody hell. That's terrifying. Oh. Anyway, should we lighten things up with a bit of a midpoint? I think we should. I think it's needed. Yes, I do. And on the other side of the midpoint, I think to lighten the mood, before we go back into Terror Town, we'll hear again from our good old friend, Peter English, and his very, very English paranormal podcast. Yes, let's do that. Okay, so it's midpoint time. The Western Midpoint and Midpoint ist in Meinenhausen. Yes, it's the midpoint. Hurrah! We've made it. We've all made it. Go and congratulate yourself with a cup of tea, maybe a cup of coffee, maybe some light beverages, a spirit perhaps. Ooh, spirits. Yes, I do hope you're all well. Me and Becca today went to, where did we go to? We went to a Christmas fair. Bit early, isn't it? Mid-November. But yeah, we went to a Christmas fair and it was brilliant. But then again, was it brilliant? I don't know. You tell me. Let me tell you what was there. It's basically one of those markets, you know, where like an artisan market. So where people do things like, I don't know, they draw a picture of themselves in charcoal and say, that's £75. And you're like, one, why have you got an American accent? Two, why would I want a picture of you for £75? I don't know, man. That sort of place, you know. Hey, I've brought a stool and I've painted it blue. The stool was £5 and I've painted it blue, so now it's £95. Do you want it? It's very antique. It's like, no. So the sorts of gifts that you'd never buy anyone. But it was a good day out. Except, here's my gripe. There was one place to get coffee. There was about 800 people there, one place to get coffee. Honest to God, what are you meant to do? I tell you what you're meant to do. Take your own. That's what I should have done. But I didn't. Anyway, are you feeling festive yet? Are you? Really? I am. I've actually made a festive playlist on Spotify. I'm walking around already singing like, snow is falling. Because if there's one thing I love more than Halloween, well, not more, that's a lie, but as much as Halloween, it's Christmas. I am not a Grinch. I love Christmas. I love everything to do with Christmas, with the exception of spending money. Sadly, it goes hand in hand. So yeah, and that's what I've done this week. What about you? Anything? Tell me now. Really? In fact, should we try and have a conversation? Let's all try this for a bit of a laugh. Let's see if we can have a conversation. You give a real answer and let's see if I can time my response really right. Let's see. Have you been out this week? Oh, yeah. Oh, very good. Very good. Sounds good. In fact, that's a terrible idea. Let's not do that. Should we just say hello to the patrons? Yes, we shall. The guitar's out. Uh-oh. So we got two new patrons to say hello to this week and thank them indeed. One is called Rachel Mittens. What a lovely name. How very warm her hands must be. And the other one is called Joe Whittingham. And this is for you. Two girls signed up to Patreon. Yes, they did. One's called Rachel, the other one Joanne. That didn't really rhyme. And Rachel Mittens, well, I must apologise to you. You must be tired of people saying, aren't your hands very warm? So I'm sorry for saying that too. And the other girl's called Joanne Whittingham. Got nothing for that except a very clever ham. Witty ham. But either way, you both signed up today. It was actually last week. And so I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Could you pick out the seventh? I think we could. Well, I want to thank you both, Rachel and Joanne. Thank you very much for signing up to Patreon. And if you want me to play a guitar to your name, go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. Or you can just go over to talkaboutghosts.com and click on the support the show link. And for just $5 a month, you'll get access to the weekly Patreon-only episode that me and Becca have been doing. And we have a bit of fun doing that. It's a bit of a laugh because she's a skeptic. I'm a believer. So we generally tend to get into an argument. But it's much fun. Yeah, so just for $5 a month, you can go over and listen to all that. Go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts, or just talkaboutghosts.com. We've just loaded up, or just about to load up, this week's Patreon special. And here's a little clip of what you can expect.
Can you remember when I first discovered you had a crystal ball?
Yeah, he wasn't impressed, was he?
No, it was before we were dating, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, that was the clincher.
8 years later.
Because you just dropped it into conversation so casually. I literally didn't know what to do with it. It was like someone just casually mentioned that they'd been to the moon. Just so you were like, that was it. You were saying last night, you were like, oh yeah, it was last night I got off the crystal ball. And you carried on with this comment, like, and then I had my pizza or whatever. And I was like, whoa, sorry, what? And I just envisage you with this cape on, this like purple cape with a high collar, like with like smoke swirling around you, sat over the sky, and I was like, what do you mean you were looking in the crystal ball? Like, what are you playing?
It's like someone just dropped in. It's like, oh, I went to the moon.
Yeah, just dead casually, just like, what do you mean you're looking at your crystal ball? What are you talking about?
So there you go. That's the sort of banter that you can expect if you go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. $5 a month will get you all the extra episodes there, and it's some good fun. Or you can go to talkaboutghosts.com and click on support the show. So, yes. Oh, and we mentioned there that Jo Whittingham is one of our new patrons, and she's also provided us a story. Did I just say us a story? Well, she has. All right. I didn't get it wrong. She's provided us a story, which we'll be reading out later. But in the meantime, remember last week I introduced you to a pretend person, infamous English podcaster Peter English, and he told us a scary story from his podcast. He sent another one in. Should we listen to it? Go on then.
Hello, and welcome to another instalment of Very, Very Posh Ghost Stories with me, Peter English III. "'Twas a cold December night, and the cobbles were etched with rain, as Edward Tibberthorpe IV walked along to the solemn bridge. The only item upon his person was a leather mattress and some HelloFresh meals, which he kept in a bag. Perchance he came across an auger or a stove. On reaching the bridge, he walked under it, pulled out a piece of paper that his servant Timbus had written a spell on, and he began to say the words, Harry's razors, Harry's razors, Harry's razors. On the third time, the demon of podcast sponsorship did awaken, and Harry's razors fell from the roof, cutting him into 1,000 very, very finely cut pieces, such is the quality of the blade, and they even had his name engraved on the handle. Edward fell to his death, and to this day, if you walk under that bridge and scream podcast sponsorship 4 times, you may well see his ghost.
Go, 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 go.
Wow. Well, that new character won't last long, will he? Because I'm quite bored of him already. Yeah, that's basically me doing a parody of very, very dramatised ghost stories, because I don't think they need it sometimes. But I had a bit of fun doing it. So what the heck? Why not? It's my show. I can do it if I want. Try and stop me? No, 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 no. In fact, that's a bit childish, isn't it? Don't try and stop me. You could probably beat me in a fight. Anyway, as I said, we did have an email come through from Jo Whittingham, and it is very scary, and I'm going to read that out right now. And what an email it is. And it's called, as you put a, oh, it's called Ghosts. Now, that's a good title for a ghost podcast email, isn't it? I think so. Ghosts. She says, hello, Kevin. Hello, Joanne. My name is Jo Whittingham, short for Joanne. and I recently contacted you via Twitter and advised you to check out the photos and stories by Simon Marsden. As promised, here's a couple of my experiences. And she did do that, actually, so do check him out as well, Simon Marsden. Very good, very scary. But this is Joanne's story. When I was a baby, my mum and dad got divorced and my mum and I went to live with my mum's mum, known as Nana, in her big house by the beach in Bournemouth. That's in the UK, by the way, guys. As I grew up, I always felt as if there were lots of people around me I couldn't see clearly. Almost like they were standing behind a dark net curtain. That's an amazing way of describing something terrifying. Well done. This didn't scare me at all. It scared me. And it felt comforting. Nothing spooky ever happened until I was around 11 years old and my Nana passed away. The house was so big that my mum and I lived on the first floor with one of the bedrooms converted into a full-fitted kitchen and another into a living room. My Nana lived on the ground floor and I was very close to her. She was devoted to her local church and never missed a Sunday service. Hey, that's what we call this show. Wee. Sorry, that's your nanny talking. I do apologise. Where were we? Sunday service. After she died, I would get home from school to an empty house a couple of hours before my mum and stepdad got in from work, and it never bothered me until a few months after Nana's passing. I began to feel uncomfortable, as if I was being followed around. If I went to my Nana's dining room to practice on the piano, after a few minutes, I could hear laboured breathing and shuffling of feet and a dull thud of a stick on the floor of the hallway outside the dining room. This is the sound my Nana made as she had been very elderly and had a stick. I would stop playing the piano and the sound would also stop. I would then start playing again, and after a few minutes later, the noises in the hall would return. I think that the fact that you're playing a piano makes this extra spooky. It's like that tune that was just on for that fake story then. Ding, ding, ding. And then you hear all that going off. Oh, no, thank you very much. She says, after experiencing this a few times, I stopped playing and never touched the piano again. I kind of don't blame you, but, you know, take it back up. Just do it somewhere else. Then one afternoon, in the winter time, I came home from school to an empty house as usual. I would go through the ground floor, putting on a couple of lights, then go upstairs to a part of our house and watch TV until my mum came home. There was a loud pop and all the lights went out and everything electrical stopped working. Having experienced power cuts in the 70s, I looked out of the living room window to see if the neighbours' houses had also lost power. But no, all seemed okay with the power supply. So grabbing a torch, I went downstairs to my Nana's living room where there was a cupboard in the corner which housed the fuse box and trip switch. The trip switch was in the off position, so I switched it back on and the power was back. I went back upstairs and nothing else happened. A week later, the same thing happened. When my mum came home that night, I told her what happened. She asked what lights, etc. I had put on. My stepdad checked all the bulbs, fuses and plugs, but all seemed normal. Still, the power going off continually happened on every few days, and being only young, I was getting scared by now. Being young? I'm 40 and I'm getting terrified reading it. Right, where were we? My dad was an experienced electrician and had completely rewired the house a few years earlier. He came over and spent a whole day checking every single item, light, plug and plug socket in the house, as well as the fuse box and trip switch. He quizzed me as to which items I had switched on when I came home. He told my mum there was no reason why the system was tripping, as there was enough watts and fuses to cope with the whole house being lit up. Then a week or so later, the loud pop happened again, and I was in complete darkness yet again. Now truly terrified, I went downstairs to check the trip switch. It was off. I switched it back on, and shaking, went to go back upstairs. However, halfway up the stairs, the light went out again. Then, to make matters worse, the door to my Nana's living room, in the brackets, where the cupboard was, slammed shut with a loud bang. Now that's terrifying. I ran back down the stairs and out of the front door, terrified and crying, and I sat on the wall of the front garden, freezing in the cold on the afternoon. One of our neighbours spotted me and took me in their house to warm up, then phoned my mum. After that, I refused to be in the house by myself and would go to my mum's place of work and stay with her until she finished for the day. A couple of years later, we sold the house and moved. Many years later, my mum got chatting to the current owners of the house. The lady who lived there was into spiritual things and told my mum she felt the house was unhappy. And she and some of her like-minded friends had spent some time cleansing the house and made it feel a calmer place to be. That's amazing. That's story one. Well done. What a tale. Jesus. You know what? Like that thing about being a kid and being scared and running out of the house. You're that scared. I've done that. I might have told this on the story on the podcast before. But I remember, like, for some reason, my mum and dad's bedroom didn't have a bulb in it. And the immersion heater to put the heating on was, like, if you open the bedroom door, it was right across, it was, like, straight ahead of you in a cupboard. And that was on the left of the wall. Oh, no, sorry. The wall was on the left, and that was where the cupboard was. And to the right was the entirety of the room. And they had, like, I don't know what you call it. You know, like those mirrors where there's a large one, then there's two ones either side, which keep it all stood up. They had one of them mirrors. And it used to terrify me. And I went in one night to turn the immersion heater on, pitch black in that room, just head and eyes focused on that cupboard. And as I'm walking towards it, bang, from the right-hand side, shit myself, turned around, ran downstairs. And my mum, who was alive at the time and was like a bit of a, she was a believer and stuff. She was like, right, well, I heard it too. Let's just wait in the garden. So we waited in the garden until my elder brother came, went upstairs, and the mirror had fell flat out of nowhere. There was no windows open. There was no breeze. So I too know the experience and the feeling where you think, I need to get out of this house. So what a story. Thank you, Joanne. And here's story two from Joanne. This also happened in my nana's house, but was not as scary as the episode above, but puzzling nonetheless. I was about 7 or 8 years old, playing in my bedroom when I became aware of movement just behind me. I was kneeling on the floor and turned around to see a beautiful shimmering line of light. It was running from one wall of my room to the opposite wall. It was low to the ground and moving in a waving pattern. It glowed a warm pale gold colour and glittered. It was beautiful and I was mesmerised by it. It seemed to be making a low humming noise. I stood up and carefully stepped over it to get to my door to fetch my mum. When I got to the door and I turned, it was still there shimmering and glowing, but by the time I returned with my mum, it had gone. I was so upset as I thought it was beautiful and hoped it would stay in my room. Even now I'm 50 years old, I can remember this as clear as day, and I've never experienced anything like this since. I've never heard of anyone else seeing a similar light like it. Anyway, I finished for now, but I've had lots of different experiences over the years and will send some more in the future. Thanks for your podcast, which are brilliant with the right balance of humour and horror and daftness from you and the voice of reason from Becca. Bye for now, Joe. Well, thank you for your kind comments at the end there, Joe, but I will say, you're not alone in the light thing. Listen to back a few episodes. I've experienced a shimmering light, a green and a red one. Emma from Real Life Ghost Stories, her and her partner Dan, they've seen a light in theirs as well. Honestly, and we've had people write in with stories about seeing lights off the back of that as well. It's a thing. I don't know whether it seems to be like, you know, you don't hear about this from the 70s and 80s, these lights sort of thing. But you did there, I suppose. That was your story. But it must be like a modern thing. I've no explanation for it, but we've both seen these lights. So you're not alone. Don't forget, if you've got a story about weird lights or any ghosts at all, send them on to contact@talkaboutghosts.com and I will read them out. But thank you very much, Joanne. What an amazing story. Wow, wow, wee wow, as I would like to say. Anyway, should we get more spookiness going? I'm really getting to that point now. I told you this is what happens. You know, I start off all, hey, I've had a coffee, let's have a laugh, wee. And then by this point, I'm like, oh, I'm shit myself now. Right, let's get another spooky one under the belt, so to speak. So this is our final story of the show. Aww. But don't forget, tune in next week. Tune in. You can't tune in to a podcast, can you? Download next week. Subscribe. That's what we say. And subscribe to the show and you'll get these landing in your email box. Not your email box. What am I on about? Into your podcast provider every week. And if you want to be a Patreon and listen to more nonsense, we've got a good few episodes up there. They come out weekly now. So you can go to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts or go over to talkaboutghosts.com and click support the show. And you can have more nonsense in your ears. But this is our final story of this week. And this comes in from Rachel. I will give you no more information than that because she's asked me not to. So she says, and the title of this, amazingly, very nicely called, and what a nice little teaser. I've scanned through this, so you're going to get real world reactions from me on this. The title of this is called, Have I Lost My Effing Marbles? Yes, it is. Let's see if she has. Let's see it together. Together. Hey, Kev. Hey, Rachel. Great podcast. Thank you. I love listening as I lay in bed in the dark. In brackets, the boyfriend not so much, despite being a skeptic. I know that feeling. Not having a boyfriend, of course, but you know. Please only refer to me as Rachel from the northeast of England. I don't want anyone I know hearing this and judging me. Okay, as you wish. I wanted to share an experience I had a couple of weeks ago. So we're getting fresh beef here, guys. Okay, you ready? You're going to ready for this deep dive with me into Rachel's madness? She's not mad, I don't think. Here we go. I was staying at my boyfriend's for a few nights, which is usual for me. This time I wasn't feeling so brilliant as I just had my flu jab and decided I'd have a little afternoon nana nap. Very good use of the words nana nap there. In the hope that I'd feel better when I woke. Anyway, the way my boyfriend's flat is set out, the head of the bed is one side of the wall and the living room is on the other side, in brackets, where he was playing on his PS3. volume turned right down so as not to disturb me. Bear in mind that here in England, most places are now rubbish builds with super thin walls. This I know. I know I seem like I'm blathering, but each detail is important. No, you don't, but we'll carry on. So I fall asleep. For once, I haven't put on a podcast because I wanted to ease my headache. Around an hour before dropping off, I started to feel hands on me. Hello. I'm aware there's an entity there. I can feel the coldness of my skin and the touch gliding across my body. I smell rotting flesh. What the frig? Think meat in a kitchen bin that you forgot to put out the week before you went on a camping trip. Specific, but I get what you mean. My eyes were closed, but I was awake, aware of everything that was happening, and suddenly realise I'm laying on my back. I struggle to breathe in that position, so never usually sleep like that, especially if I'm feeling rough. I started to panic as I felt the sensation begin to become more intimate. Aye. By this time, I'm crying out, yelling for my boyfriend to help me, feeling this thing start to initiate some sort of intercourse. Friggin' hell. I was getting more distressed and was pounding harder on the wall with my fist. This went on for what felt like 20 minutes to me, crying, begging it to stop and hitting the wall whilst wondering why my boyfriend wasn't coming to my rescue. Eventually, I'm laying, eyes wide open, sobbing. The thing has gone and my boyfriend walks into the bedroom. He asks if I'm okay and whether I've been tapping. I tell him I was calling out, hitting the wall, and have been for ages. He tells me he heard a faint tapping which he thought was coming from a neighbouring flat, but thought he'd check in on me anyway. He didn't hear me calling, crying, or punching fuck out of the shitty wall separating us. The thing is, my throat hurt from crying out. My hand felt bruised from the wall. But he heard nothing, and that's in block capitals, and quite rightly, bloody hell. And he just came in to check on me because he felt like he had an urge to do so. What the actual fuck, she says. Who or what was touching me? And that's a very valid question, Kevin says. Bloody hell. If this was a dream, then it was the most lucid I've ever experienced. The flu jab generally make me feel like I've had a sniffle for a few hours, but I've never had a reaction such as this from it, and I've been receiving it for absolute years. I'm still freaked out at this, have only been able to sleep alone with the aid of medication, and in brackets, he doesn't realise this. I was too scared to go home in case the thing went with me, so stayed with my boyfriend for an extra day. I could see it, Kev. I could feel the cold and smell that disgusting smell. I know my boyfriend still thinks I'm nuts and making something out of nothing, so I'm contacting you and your podcasters to validate, and your podsters, she says, sorry, to validate this to myself. I know, in block capitals, what's real and what's not. And in block capitals again, this was fucking real. So yeah, maybe Keisha isn't as crazy as I first thought she was. Keisha, just to stop the story very quickly, says she was attacked by a ghost, I believe, sexually. Looking forward to the next episode, even though now I feel a little more freaked out at it all. Rachel. Oh my God. What do you say to that? What do you say when you read out that story? What do you say to that? Right, okay, let's try. I'm going to try and put a logical hat on here. That's horrible. I mean, even if, let's say it was a lucid dream. Let's say it was all part and parcel of the flu jab. It's still horrible. That's undeniable. You've got a tangible sensation of being fucking sexually attacked. That's horrible. That's undeniable. There's no beating about the bush. It doesn't matter. Well, all right. Hold on. It does matter if it was real or it was not. But if you've still experienced every sensation that you would, then it kind of doesn't matter. To the point you've still experienced that. That is horrific. Now, if we're going to look on the paranormal aspect of it, you know, there's incubus and succubus and all them carry-on e-buses. Carry-on on the buses, that was a film. Anyway, off track. But yeah, you know, incubus, succubus, those sorts of sexual demons allegedly that come in. The fact you can smell rotten flesh, how do you hallucinate a smell? I know, can you have, like, smell? And I know that if you're having a stroke, you're meant to smell burnt toast. But I've never heard of anyone. Let's be honest, let's look at this without the sceptical hat on. For this to all have took place and it to be not real, you'll have had to hallucinated the smell, had a like an olfactory hallucination at the same time as having a physical sensation hallucination and at the same time as, you know, feeling like you've been sexually violated. I don't know what to say. Bloody hell, I'm in out me depth here. Jesus tonight? I don't know. But I can tell by the way that you've written your email that you believe that that's taken place. And you know what? I believe, therefore, because you know, you're quite visceral in your email about that. And I'll share something with you now, podcasters. I keep saying podcasters. That's because she said that. I'll share something with you now, podcast listeners. And that is, I when I was 16, I tried astral projection. I may have said the story before, but I'll say it again. A friend of mine who knew I was into the weird stuff, he is a tarmacker, and he was working somewhere in Wales in a very rural place. And it was an abandoned house he was working in, which had been bought out by some developer. And he wanted a car park putting into it or whatever, but they could get into the house that was abandoned. And in the house, there was a bookshelf. And on the bookshelf, there was a book called The Astral Plane and How to Get There. And my mate took it because he's a thief. And he's not really a thief. He's a lovely guy. And he brought it to me and said, I thought you'd be into all this. So I went, I am into all this. Thanks for getting the book. So anyway, I read through the front of a book, the index. I read through that and it basically said, one of the chapters was how to get there. And I thought, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to skip all of the warnings, all of this, all that. I'm going to read that. So I read it and it said, what you need to do is you need to lay down, focus on something, close your eyes, visualize it, open your eyes, see it again, close your eyes, repeat this onwards. So I had bunk beds at the time. I went on to my top bunk, stared at the spot on the ceiling, closed my eyes, opened my eyes, closed my eyes. And I had the Sgt. Pepper album on repeat on CD, just playing over and over. It was about 3 PM. And I closed my eyes. Anyway, I fell asleep. Long story short, I fell asleep. And then my dad came into the bedroom and went, oi, what are you doing? Asleep at like 4 PM, you lazy gobshite. Go and get a job, sort of thing. So I sat up and went, all right, I will now. God, get out. Let me wake up. So away he went. And I like shook my head, put my head back down on the pillow. The instant I put my head on that pillow, I was sat up in bed. Like still, like a split second, I was sat up in bed. And I remember thinking, how the hell can I be sat up? And before I could even finish the thought, I was lying back down in bed. But I couldn't move anywhere at all. Like I was completely paralyzed. And slowly I got pins and needles everywhere all over my body and could very, very slowly move. And I managed to get down off the bunk bed, ran downstairs, my heart pounded, and I was like, I've just come out my body. And obviously it got treated as you'd expect when you say that, which is probably in the same way why you want your name hidden when you're telling that story, because people are going to look at you like you're mad. But I know, hand on heart, 110,000% what I experienced there. It wasn't a lucid dream because I've never had sleep paralysis in my life and it was paralyzed. And like the me waking up part and being able to move very slowly with pins and needles, that physically happened because I had to get out of bed to the floor. So I know what happened. And it happened. I don't know what to say. Yeah. But so therefore, I understand what I'm trying to say is why you'd question yourself and also why you'd say, you know, did I really experience it? Because I question myself about that experience that I had. Did I really experience it? But hand on heart, yeah, I did. I know. I used to say to myself, well, you mustn't have done. But I know what I've seen. I know what I experienced. And you do there. So jeepers, creepers, I honestly don't know what to tell you. But hey, guys, like I said earlier with Teddy's story, if anyone does know what she should do, I haven't got a clue. I haven't got a Bernard, as we say here in Liverpool. I haven't got a Bernard. But if you do, email us, contact at Talk About Ghosts. Again, I've got Rachel's email address. I can forward something on to her. But bloody hell, tell you what, it's got a bit serious, this one, hasn't it? Jeepers creepers. Again, we've succeeded in scaring the living shite out of me for this episode. So I look forward to seeing you all again. Well, not seeing you, to speaking to you all again next week, when again, I'll start off all light and frivolous and end up not wanting to go to bed alone. So until next time, guys, yous are all wonderful, wonderful people. Don't forget, if you've got a story or advice for the guys we've never had an episode where I've had to say or felt the need to say, if you know what these people should do, get in touch. But this episode, there's two times, and I mean it. If you know what these guys should do, email contact@talkaboutghosts.com and I'll forward it on. Bloody hell. What an episode. Anyway, I'm off to drink loads of coffee and watch lots of comedy to try and lose these stories from my brain. In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful week and I will see you all next time. I love you all sincerely and I will see you then. Tatty bye.